everyone, and welcome to the Real Family Podcast. I'm Roz Mignogna from realfoodfamily.com, and I'm here with Kathleen Chapman. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Roz.
So
good to talk to you again.
Yes, last week was so much fun, and I have loved this so far, and I'm super excited about today. If anyone is listening to this and didn't listen to the last podcast, we introduced the temperaments. And I highly recommend that you head back over to that first podcast if you haven't listened yet to understand a little more about the temperaments and kind of identify who you are and who your loved ones are as far as their temperaments and the unique way that God made them. And today I'd like to spend a little time talking about how to spend valuable time with your kids and your loved ones and how that looks different with each temperament. So kind of like the most important things to do with your loved ones based on their temperament. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this, well, a lot of times the questions that I have for Kathleen are based on problems or big issues I'm having at home. So I have my three children, all girls, 8, 5, and 2 years old. And my oldest is a red blue. So she is a very driven and determined child, but she's also a very feeling child and sensitive, and she loves projects and she loves serious things. And I'm going on a trip with her in a couple weeks, and we're going out of state together for a little less than a week. And I can't wait to spend the time with her because I know every day is going to be full of adventure, and we both like driving around and looking at houses and having lots of deep conversations. And when I told my middle child, who is yellow, she's fun and social, and she cried like someone had died because she doesn't get to go. But I immediately had planned a full day of us spending together alone, and to kind of make up for it so she could plan the perfect day. And and quite frankly, I don't know what to do with that. I don't even know what to do for a full day with her because she gets bored really easily and she doesn't really like long conversations, and I'm not yellow at all. And so I just start thinking about all the work that needs to be done. And when I spend time, so it's really important that I spend really good time with my yellow child, but I need to be better equipped knowing how to spend really good time with her. And of course, age comes in, into play, you know, and of course the baby gets so much attention too. So my middle child does have middle child syndrome too, I think. So Kathleen, help me out.
Well, first of all, for our listeners, let me just reiterate that a temperament is a predisposition. Think of it as a permanent birthmark on your soul. Every person is born with a specific and identifiable personality trait. And this makes up a temperament. This is something that everyone is born with. So your three girls came out like this, Roz. And it's really exciting to discover the temperaments and to analyze what you can, how easier it is to communicate with each one of them and have a relationship with each one when you understand how they're made. So I'm so proud of you, Roz, that you grabbed this when your kids are young and that you are on top of this. This is so important as a mom. So having said that, I would like to review real quickly the four different temperaments in children. So to talk about the four different temperaments, two of them are very loud and in your face, and that is the red and yellow. And then two of the temperaments are quieter, and they are the blue and green. So introducing the little red child. Oh my goodness, these kids are on fire. They are hilarious. They are leaders. They take charge quickly in an emergency. They make quick decisions. They like to plan ahead. They make things happen. They love to get results. They, they're They don't like people who do things wrong or slowly around them because they're very fast thinkers and they want it done their way, which is, of course, the right way. They love respect for the results that they achieve. They love getting credit for their talents and abilities, and they love to do it themselves. The children that say, "I will do it, I will do it," usually have some red in them.
You're defining my 8-year-old, like every word that you say. And I know a lot of moms feel this way. When people feel like their kids are identified, oh, it feels so good to realize that, you know, this is the way they were made.
Yes, yes. Okay, these little reds enjoy winning. They love to win at whatever they attempt. They love to be in charge. They love going to a special place with friends. They actually love big family events because they have so much of a variety of people to pick from and to do things with. But they love competition, probably more than anything. The things you have to worry about, you have to teach them to be compassionate. And you teach them to be a little tender with other people. They're not as quick as them. They're not as fast. They're not right. And they tend to be judgmental. They love to be in control. And so when you identify a little red child that young, you can, you don't put them in a box. You just have an easier way of working with them. Because you're red, Roz, you're going to have fun with your little red child. You're going to have a day where you can spend doing things that you both like. You will, however, have her tell you when you're wrong or try to impose her way on yours, which is where the parenting comes into it.
Right.
So the little reds need a mom. Even though they can run the house, they can run the dad, the mom, and all the other kids, they need parents. This is how God created them. And the fact of it is establishing early on that you are the mom and teaching them to say, okay, mom, when you give them a command. When you lay down a rule in the house, teaching them not to argue right out of the chute, which is what they want to do, but having taught them respect for you and your husband is going to make them easier for them to respect God. Authority is something that a little red has got to learn to respect.
Right. And so, I'm learning this. I have my little 2-year-old. And see, as I mentioned in our first podcast, I kind of let my red win. So by the time she was about 4 or 5, I had lost that control and it was just causing problems and we would battle. And my little 2-year-old now is becoming her own person.
And, voice.
And yeah. Yes, developing her own voice and her own way. And she has discovered how to say no, which is not allowed in our home, and mm-hmm. You know, and to say no my way. I mean, this is a feisty little red I've got again, and I do feel blessed though, because I know, okay, this is my chance to establish things right from the beginning.
That's right.
With her. And sometimes I don't want to get up and take care of situations because I'd rather just sit down and keep drinking my coffee before it gets cold, but I know that this is the work, that the labor that has to go in. It has to go in, or else I'm just going to be miserable and it's going to be even harder later.
That's right. That's so right. Okay, we've talked about the little spunky reds. Let's go to the yellows real quickly. Your yellow child has high energy. High energy. I just have to tell you, a mom asked me this week, she's having her kid tested for ADD.
Right.
Because she doesn't like routines or repetition. She's got all these ideas and she goes from one thing to the next. And I suspect that there's nothing wrong with this child. I think she has a little yellow on her hands.
And exactly.
If she could just relax and look at all the facts, she will be so much more relieved and be able to deal with this little yellow. But let me tell you really quickly, yellows can bore easily and they're very impulsive. They're like running a race in life as a sprint, not a marathon. Yellows like to have fun. They will do anything to have fun, and they need attention. Believe it or not, watch me, listen to me. Did I do good? I need to know. They need approval. They need affection. They operate with a huge heart. Some people confuse this for the blues because they're so sensitive. No, yellows have a huge heart, and their emotions are on their sleeves. Mm-hmm. So they need hugs. They need affection. They need an audience. They need applause. They're performers. They need approval. They need affirmations. Keep telling them how wonderful they are. They really live for praise. Telling my husband when I married him, I said, buy me a present. Tell me I'm wonderful. And I'm yours. I mean, I'm a yellow. And it takes so little to actually make a yellow happy. They love having a good time. Fun is the operative word here. They help others to have a good time. They'll talk to anybody about anything. They have a bubbly personality usually. They love entertaining people. And to a fault, as you probably have found out, they will try to steal the spotlight from the other kids or the other people in the room. They tend to laugh a lot. They're funny. They have to have friends. Yellows get so bored being in the house with just their parents. Oh, my goodness. They want to have a room full of friends. Yellows really gravitate towards school because of that. They don't like being left out. They don't want anybody to say anything mean about them. They need approval all the time. It's very difficult for a yellow to be in a house with a mom who yells. They take that as disapproval. So that's an interesting thing for mothers to find out about their little yellows.
Yes, and I found that they're, and I've mentioned before, you know, my temper as a red, it's very easy mm-hmm. for me to lose my temper and yell, and it instantly just defeats them, and they just want to go and hide. I mean, like, they don't even know how to deal with that.
Yes.
And a couple of things you said that are so funny, because we homeschool, but we do go to a couple little group classes. And right now what we're dealing with is the red blue just keeps telling me that she wasn't meant to go to classes like this. She doesn't need them. And God didn't really, it's not a good fit. And God didn't make her to go to classes like that. And mm-hmm. don't worry, she's going. But, and the yellow is trying to maybe feel like her older sister does, but she doesn't at all. So she almost feels bad that she has so many wonderful things to tell me about her friends that she's made in yes. her classes. Yes. And of course, as a homeschooler, you know, we have to be aware that yellows do need a lot of social activity and all of that. And a real I wanted to tell you a funny story last night that I think, because you keep saying bored. And well, two times. One, I feel like, If a couple times my yellow has gone into complete dramatic, it seemed like a panic attack of crying, and she didn't know why she was crying so hard, and it all was because she was so bored in the car. She just didn't even know what to do. The drive for 25 minutes was just the longest drive she had ever been on, and she just started sobbing and couldn't stop. And it was because she was
excruciating. Yes.
And last night, the room was a disaster. And all the girls share a room, and the red blue left for gymnastics, and the room was spotless as she likes it. And we came home, and we talked about the room needing to be cleaned, and that Charlotte was the one who had to do it, the yellow, because, you know, she was the one that made the mess because we had left and it was spotless. And Charlotte goes, well, I wanted to leave it in a mess, Eden, because you're the one who likes cleaning so much. So I wanted to make it fun for you.
Well, there you go. Actually, I was going to say that one of the traits of a yellow is they are not organized, and it's very difficult for them to learn the organizational skills, because it actually is not something that comes naturally to them. So this is another parent thing that you will get to do. You probably don't have to explain how to organize for your first child, but the second one is actually going to learn this, something that they have to learn to do. And I know part of your brain goes, you're kidding, just put your toys away. No, it's not that easy for a little yellow.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Yes,
it's not.
And the little yellow sees toys as an opportunity to play, not as something that they need to put back or return someplace. And also, they don't want the toys in the same place all the time. Yellows like variety. And so that will frustrate your little red to death. But the little yellow would love to open her drawer and find a toy she didn't know was there. And this will be the most fun thing that happens. So that's just an area that a yellow needs to work on. They are gullible. Little yellows are gullible. By the way, let me throw in something serious here. A little gullible is too accepting. And the number one trait for little children that are kidnapped is the yellow personality. Because you tell them not to go to a stranger, they have no strangers. They've never met a stranger, especially if somebody walks up to them with a little puppy and says, "Hi, this is my little puppy, Brownie," and suddenly they are best friends. And so a little yellow does not understand the concept of not talking to strangers. That's something that's very serious about their temperament trait. But they are a bundle of fun, and they love to have fun. They do need probably more attention than you realize. So you're a green mom. The yellow is going to exhaust you, Roz.
Yes.
So you're going to have to make little sections of time in the day for your yellow where you can actually plan on it, that she is going to just wear you out. But there's so many fun things you can learn to do with little yellows, and that's going to be part of your learning curve. All right, let me quickly go to the little blues. All right, they see everything in black and white. Your little blue comes out a planner and an organized child. They love things that are done quality. They love belonging to certain things and certain people. They love stability. They love security. They love everything in its place and a place for everything. Organization gives them a rush. They love to be in charge of things. They love to solve problems. They have high standards. They're thoughtful. They're dependable. They're honest. The little blues are honest, and they are born this way without and before they are even introduced to Jesus. A little blue has a moral compass, and they come out that way. They're quickly to point out when everybody else doesn't have it, but yeah. They are these little dependable, honest children. They love rules, and they love to follow rules.
And they love to be on time. And on time for a blue, by the way, is 15 minutes early.
Early, yes. On time is early for a blue. The yellows, they can run in. In fact, they love running in and making an entrance, a grand entrance late. There's no problem. But your little blues and often your reds also have the need for being on time. So the yellows and the greens, not so much. But the blues and the reds, yes. Blues enjoy vacations and time with families. They enjoy quality time. A blue is all into quality and traditions. You will find even at a very young child, if you establish traditions for birthdays and Christmas and Thanksgiving, the blue is going to be excited about doing it again.
And expecting
the same
it.
Way. Expecting. And expecting exactly the same thing you did last year. Whereas the yellow is, oh my goodness, let's try something new. You know my reputation, Roz. I've never had two Christmas trees alike.
Right.
In the 46 years we've been married. I love changing Christmas trees. Well, I didn't realize until Nancy, my daughter, was 10 years old that this was just hard for her. And so from then on, she had a little Christmas tree in her room where she got to put the same exact ornaments on it every single year. And that was so meaningful to my little blue. So that is another area that I had to stretch and learn. Little blues love sports teams, but not with kids that want to mess around. They take things very seriously. Your little gymnast, she will follow the rules, take things seriously, and she will love and thrive as a little gymnast. They tend to be a little negative. Blues tend to see the things that are wrong up front. And this is part of who they are. This is not a criticism. This is actually how they think and how they're made. So you just come back with something positive when they say this can't be done. Then you come back and say, oh, but look at this. This can be done this way. So just giving them a balance as a mom is so very important. And finding the positive things in life. Little blues tend to get down on themselves and down on their situations quicker than any other temperament. So you have to just expect it and look for it. And you have the opportunity right there to snap them out of it and bring them up.
Yeah. You made me think of like a teaching situation too. One problem that we've had with my child with the blue, the oldest, gymnastics, it is structured and intense. And like you said, she thrives in that situation. But with my performing arts background, I have always really wanted all my kids to at least stay in some sort of dance, especially with gymnastics, you know, the dance will. And we have had nothing but problems with having a dance class. And I think a lot of times teachers tend to maybe be yellow and they want to have their classes be fun and make sure everybody's having fun. And I think for teachers to realize all these different temperaments, they need to actually realize that the structure and order is really important for when you have blue students. And it doesn't always have to be fun and crazy. And we kind of decided, you know, classes that are more about improvisation and play at the end, that's not really a good fit for the blues.
No,
but perfect for the yellows, of course. But, you know, we have a choice in that. But if you're in a school situation or something, gosh, just all of this is so valuable to realize that you do need to kind of address structure, but fun at the same time, you know, so all of the different temperaments can be supported.
One thing that we did when our kids were younger was sent the temperament books to their teachers as gifts around the holidays. Mm-hmm. And just letting a teacher that maybe hasn't gone into this type of learning be exposed to this. And it does help. It does help teachers. My two daughter-in-laws are teachers. It helps them immensely to understand the kids in their classes. Okay, let me go to the greens real quick. This is probably more you as a little child, Roz, believe it or not. They like a life that is as conflict-free as possible. Greens love peace. They love to get along with people. They want everyone to get along. They love the home life where people get along. So little greens that have red moms or yellow moms, that is going to be extra difficult for them. Just because their moms tend to be loud and boisterous. And that is something a little green does not thrive well under. They are the nicest children in the world. You will have your teachers say that about your green children. They will say, oh my goodness, they are the best child in my class. They are so nice. They're nice to everybody and they're quiet. They love routine. They love things they don't like surprises as much, but they stay calm and cool and collected under so many different pressures. They're just nice children. They're nice, easy children. And when I first met you, Roz, you were the most likable little girl in the world. And you just wanted to do anything that I asked as a teacher. You were just jumping in with all fours. And you also helped everybody around you. If somebody was struggling with a step or a part in the theater, you were there to help them. So little greens are adaptable. And they just love a nice, peaceful life and a nice, peaceful classroom and a nice, peaceful team that they're on. They do well when they are just easygoing and life is easy for them. They are practical. They have common sense usually. And they are concerned for how others feel. They're not proactive. A green doesn't jump up and go help somebody if they see them having trouble. But if asked to do it, they would love to. They're just not self-starters. Greens don't like to have too many things to do at once. They like one thing at a time and to tackle things at a time. So if you have a green child and you say, there's four things I need you to do today, this is not going to set well with them. It's better if you give them one thing at a time that you want them to accomplish, and they are so much better that way, as opposed to a red child who would love the four things to do and see how quickly she can get them done. Greens love everybody getting along. I can't say that enough, especially in the family, in the home. If you bring in an extra relative, a grandma or a grandpa or uncle, cousin, who is a troublemaker or who starts problems in the house, they will start avoiding this person because that is not a comfort zone for them at all. They love working on something either alone or with maybe one friend. They love parties where no one's left out. They love school if everyone's nice. They don't speak up for themselves. They tend to be a little too sensitive in certain times just because they're quiet. They get run over a lot. They get ignored a lot. And that's up to the parent and to the teacher to try to find these little greens and make them belong. They don't like getting lost in the shuffle. They get a bad rap for being too nice and kind sometimes, as not having a personality, but that is their personality. And they are just wonderful little kids. I said, if you have a Sunday school class full of little greens, you never have to move the bulletin board. You never have to add a new decoration. You never have to do anything. If they come every single morning and all their chairs are in the same place as last week, you will have the sweetest class of little greens enjoying themselves in Sunday school. And I'll never forget my daughter, who's a blue green. She came home from school one day and I had completely redecorated her room. And she was maybe seven, eight years old. And I thought, this is going to be so fun for her. She's going to come home and see all this new stuff in her room. And she was traumatized.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. She did not know where anything was. And she just burst into tears. And it was a wake up call for me. I can do that with my boys. I can't do it with my daughter.
Well, and to me, I'm thinking that would be the perfect thing to do for a yellow child.
Yes, it would. And for yellow moms, I know. I'm thinking talking about your middle child for a minute. The yellow child loves surprises and they love treasure hunts. And if you every single day of their life had something hidden for them somewhere in the house, they would think they lived in the most exciting house in the whole world. Oh my goodness. They come home from school and there's a treasure hidden somewhere for them. And you know what? It would not have to be anything more than a thimble. Yeah. just something little, tiny, that's just for them that you've hidden somewhere in the house for them. Oh my goodness. That is the most exciting thing in the world. So you
yes.
have.
And it doesn't have to be expensive or
no.
meaningful in some crazy way. I always joke about how you put a yellow on timeout, like I have done in the past, and you go to find that they've made up an entire game with their fingers and their hands. So
that's right.
That's not really
or with the spots on the wall.
Yes.
Oh yeah. They're very, very creative, and probably the creative juices flow more obviously with the yellow child, only because they are constantly on the go. Blues are also creative. They're more artistic, but they are not all over the place.
And right. I was going to say,
at a time. Right.
Yeah. In order, like my daughters are in an art class and well, like I said, the one doesn't think she's made to go to school. So we're working on her attitude with that. But the yellow is very, very upset that the teacher has so many brushes and so many paints and so many supplies and that they're not allowed to use all of them at every class.
Oh, my goodness. Of course. Of course not. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is just pain and agony right there for a yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
She has it all displayed, but they have to only work with one medium that week, and it, you know, and so I think my yellow was trying to be like the older one, like complaining about school or whatever, and so she came up with that as her complaint.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I love that. I think what's really helpful for me is when you have these specific things like this brilliant, important thing to do for each person in your life, kids and even, you know, a spouse or someone that that's important. So I love that. I mean, okay, with a yellow. So a treasure hunt or some big surprise every day. I remember one day you told me, make waking up super fun. So you know, when my other daughters wake up, they just like snuggling and quiet and let's go, you know, in the kitchen and make tea, mm-hmm. or whatever. But whenever Charlotte wakes up, it's always like, oh, Charlotte's up, you know, kind of
yes,
a big
right.
deal.
I said I was raised by a very serious blue-green mom, and she never went out of the box to wake us up or to do anything at home that was fun for a yellow. And I was the only yellow in the house, if you can imagine. And I remember when my kids were young and the mornings they had to get up really early and I knew they wouldn't like getting up that early, I would put a hat on. I would put some silly costume on to go in and wake them up. And my boys just loved it. And they'd fall out of bed, jump out of bed, wanting to put the costume on themselves. And they just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And my daughter, I would never have done that to her.
Yeah, I was going to say, she probably was like, no. Mom, what are you doing? This
yes,
is so
really.
Lame.
Right. It's so fun to learn the different temperaments, especially of your children. I want to caution the listeners to also understand their temperament first before they try to analyze their kids, because your temperament and how you react to them is the main deal. This is the number one most important thing that you can do as a parent, is to understand your temperament so that you can deal with the different temperaments of your children.
Right. And it makes a difference. And understanding your strengths and weaknesses in a relationship between what your temperament is and the person
exactly.
that you're dealing with.
Exactly. There is a down time to each one of the temperaments. There is something negative about each one of them. And without those being made a big deal in the house, you can balance that out by just understanding who your child is.
Right.
And that's so important about the parents understanding who their child is.
Right.
Once again, I'm going to point to my little short ebook on the temperaments that is on my website, KathleenChapman.com. It's downloadable for free and with a test, and you can take it. But downloading the ebook on the temperaments is going to save you hours and hours of pain and agony and,
yes.
and uncomfortable moments as a parent, because you're going to know what to expect and you're going to be able to balance it off.
Exactly. And I think something that helps me is knowing, okay, this is the most damaging way to handle this situation, and this is the most fruitful way to
exactly.
handle this situation. Yeah,
exactly. I had a granddaughter talk to me this week. One of my little granddaughters is red. She even understands the red temperament because of me. And it's really interesting how she's processing this. She says, "Mimi, I get mad so easily. And it's because I'm red." And I said, "Yes, you have a tendency to get angry quickly, but you're so lucky you have Jesus in your heart, because all you have to do is talk to him about it."
Right.
And he will balance you out. This is what Jesus gave us, our temperaments. This is why Jesus gave us our temperaments, because he actually is the antidote. He is the one that's going to balance out all the negatives of our temperaments and make us into the person that he wants us to be. So it's really a fun dialogue with kids when they understand how they're made.
I love that. Okay, so some practical advice for each temperament. We've talked about yellow. You know, any other advice for yellow? What would be the best things you could possibly do with your yellows?
I want to say relax and enjoy them. They are easy kids, truthfully. They love to see the good and the happy and the fun in everything. From from putting their food on their plate for dinner time, making it into a smiley face instead of just scooping their food on their plate, that makes a yellow smile and gives them such joy over a meal. That is, yellows are easy, easier than you think. Don't overanalyze them and don't work hard at them. Just enjoy them and have fun. Try to have fun with them.
I think as a mom that has green, and greens get overwhelmed so easily, I don't know. I find it a little harder. I do. Even though I am trying to sit back and enjoy, for me, some days are just about just making us all stay alive all day long.
Right.
and you know, getting the food served. So I feel like I do need to be a little more intentional about how I make things a little more fun or kind of relax a little bit about enjoying life and enjoying the things that my yellow child enjoys.
Well, as a yellow mom, Roz, it took so much intentionality on my part to be organized for my daughter. I would make myself write down the calendar for the week because I love to just go by the seat of my pants, and she needed a plan.
Right.
And that sometimes exhausted me. It wasn't fun. There's nothing fun about writing an organizational chart. And yet she's had a chart on the back of her bedroom door since she was born. I think she still has one now as a married woman. And so that was intentional on my part as a yellow mom. I want to say, if you have a red child, give them a leadership role in the house. Give them some of the work to do. Let them organize it and lead it. I talk about my son who was, president of our pantry. We had a pantry where all of our food goods were, and he knew exactly when I was out of something. And one day I put him in charge, and he cleaned the whole thing up, and he organized all the cereal down to his eye level, and I organized all the cans according to color, and he organized the whole thing, and he became president of the pantry. Believe it or not, the teacher, I don't know if I've told you this before, but the teacher at school a couple weeks into it said, "What have you done? What have you done to challenge Mark at home? Because he's so much better at school now." So we gave him things that were tangible, that he could be a leader and the head honcho. And we gave him the title president.
That is wonderful. President. Give yes, a red title president of something, and that'll be the best day ever.
That's exactly right. And you can't just fake it with a red. You have to give them responsibility to go with it.
Mm-hmm. And as a red parent, you can't go back and change it. You can't go back and override what you gave them. So that's something to keep in mind.
No, it's so true. And the little blues in the house, I've already talked to you about them needing tradition and needing to feel the comfort of the security of the things you do all the time the same. This is something that they really enjoy. They love having a routine. They love the routine at breakfast. If you have a little spiritual routine, you can start with a blue, reading a scripture verse every morning. And that's all you would probably need to do for a while, because they know that this is something they get to do every morning with mom. This is going to be an important part of their day. Pretty soon they're going to remind you, "We didn't read our verse this morning." Before they go to school, this is going to be huge in a little blue's life, that they have something that they can look back to, point at, that is something special only for them and their home and in their family. This is very, very important, the traditions and the memories and the special things that are theirs.
Right.
So my little blue son, I didn't even know it. Years later, he reminded me that one of the most important things in his life was his special drawer. And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, when we were kids, we all had our own special drawer. No one was allowed in the drawer but them and mom. So their brothers and sisters couldn't open it. Their cousins couldn't, their friends. That was their special drawer. They could put all their special papers in it, any special toys they wanted. This was their drawer." I had no idea it made such an impression.
Right.
It was like, oh, really? It was an idea I had one morning, and I guess it worked. It was huge. And now he is giving each of his four children a special drawer in their house.
That's
and
great.
I thought, wow, this was something that was meaningful, and he never forgot. That's a little blue. The little greens, they're easily lost in the, especially in a house full of a lot of children, because they're the quiet ones. They're the easiest. They're the slowest, but they're the easiest. Little greens, sometimes you feel like you need to put a firecracker under them. They do not move as quickly as anybody else. They do not process as quickly as other people. It has nothing to do with intelligence. We're talking about all the intelligent, brilliant greens of the world when I teach a class. And they are some of the most intelligent people. They are just more on purpose, methodical. They do things slower than anybody else. Putting shoes and socks on, that's what causes red moms to scream and holler.
Holy moly,
not only
yes.
the green children don't know where their shoes and socks are in the first place. And when they find them, they want to undo everyone slowly. Unroll out the socks, and everything is done at half pace. So I remember, as a mom, I let my green daughter start everything first. She headed to the car first. She started her lunch first. She started eating breakfast first. Everything had to start with her because she took a little bit longer than the other kids did. So you do have to figure out your entire household. And what makes life easier for you and for your home life by understanding your temperaments.
Right. And I think it takes some of our own creativity as we learn the temperaments to also think of valuable things to do with our husbands, our
That's
our spouses,
right.
and other people, because that's really important too.
I'm going to say the best thing you can do for your kids is to love your husband.
Right.
And that is a fun project for temperaments. I encourage couples to go away and just spend the whole weekend taking temperament tests and discovering each other. They often come back so surprised and having had such a good time, and it's such a bonding experience.
Right.
I married a very sensitive person, and when we were first married, oh my goodness, I destroyed him with one sentence. I mean, just one sentence. I could destroy him, ruin his day. I had no idea. I had no idea what I was doing. And when we discovered the temperaments and put them to work in our lives, our marriage improved by leaps and bounds. And we enjoy each other. To this day, we talk about how each of us reacts differently to different things.
Right.
And it's an exciting ride that God has intended for married couples. And it's so wonderful that we've had this insight into temperaments to build your marriage and heal marriages.
Right. And to discover what's valuable to each other, because it's going to be different.
That's
usually
right.
Based on temperaments,
what
things are valuable, and discovering how you can hurt someone when you don't realize, that what isn't hurtful for you is hurtful to the other person.
That's right.
So
talk to a married couple about what a perfect evening would be. And my husband would say, sitting at home with me, watching a game or just watching a show, just being with me. Well, as a yellow, that tends to sound a little boring. It doesn't sound very exciting or fun. Oh, couldn't we first go to a movie maybe and go out to dinner and meet some people?
Yeah.
No, that is so interesting to find out your strengths and your weaknesses and what you want to do more than anything. Green parents love a peaceful night at home. They love it when everything's put away and the house is running perfectly and nobody's upset and everything just runs like a fine oiled machine.
Right.
That is the perfect evening for a green. And if you have a yellow or a red in your house, they're going to expect a little more excitement. So you take turns. You really do. You take turns off and on.
Right.
It's so funny. We go into a restaurant and my husband will say, "You think we can get through a whole meal without you meeting the couple next to us?" So then I'll realize, okay, he needs me tonight. He just needs me tonight. We don't need to come home with any friends.
Well, I can relate to that because me having the green, my husband having the yellow, going out.
Yes.
He'll see someone he knows across the restaurant or outside walking down the street and he wants to jump up and go say hi. I'm like, just
yes.
Let's just pretend we're the only ones here.
Yes. Yes.
Don't get up.
It's so true. It's so true. And I think God had such a sense of humor putting couples together, usually with opposite temperaments. Very, very seldom do I find the same exact temperament, you know, within couples.
Right.
But it's such an exciting trip to walk through life with the person you're in love with, and making it so much easier to be in love with them when you understand their temperaments.
Exactly. And not do the opposite, which I would say the enemy wants us to do, which is resent our
yes.
loved ones for the way God made them.
Yes.
So exactly. I love that. Well, I think we have some serious homework for everyone to do. I love that about with your spouse, discussing what the perfect day and night looks like. I think that tells a lot. So, you know, a little homework would be, okay, let's just talk about what the perfect day or date night would look like. And I think that's going to tell a lot about each other's temperaments and what's valuable to them. And then I think for parents, definitely, well, everybody, go to KathleenChapman.com and get that free ebook if you haven't already, and do the test and discover what your temperament is, the colors, and do the same thing for your children and everyone in your family. You'll probably become as obsessed with it as I am and Kathleen is. And I think a really great thing that we can do is just make a point to do something uniquely special for each of our loved ones based on the temperament that we discover they
Absolutely.
Are.
Yep. Absolutely. This was fun, Roz.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. So I think we can wrap it up. We're over time a little bit. But just a reminder, everybody, go to KathleenChapman.com. My website is realfoodfamily.com. And we'd love for you to join our email subscriptions and follow all our social media. We pretty much have a presence wherever you probably spend your time.
And have them send some questions in.
Yes. I was just going to say, please share this podcast, help us grow, and leave comments. And we'd love to answer questions. So if you have questions, leave them anywhere. You know, we'll keep track in comment sections, either on our blog posts with the podcast or the social media posts. But yes, I would love to start answering or having Kathleen typically answer some questions on the podcast. So that's all for today. So until next time, we pray that God richly blesses you and your families. Bye.
Bye.